Hello everyone and welcome to JFG tonight. We have more Lily video to review. You thought it was over, but no, it never stops. The philosophy keeps coming. Nicolas Petrus says, greetings, Breton. Hello, Nicolas Petrus. Today, some people have announced the death of Noam Chomsky, but apparently it was false. Even Steven Pinker was announcing his death. I said, Noam Chomsky was the subversive of subversives. A Jewish intellectual specialized in convincing the left that they are anti-system in order to satisfy their revolutionary spirit while making sure that his ideas weren't too dangerous for said system. His work is best forgotten. Now he's still alive, so I guess I shouldn't say was. But other than this, I'm not going to delete the tweet because the tweet is still accurate. It is Noam Chomsky is giving this feeling to the leftists that they're anarchists. And he does this by mislabeling himself and the left that he represents as anarchist. But it's anarchist for governments, anarchist for unions, anarchist for basically everything that the left strive for, including the vaccine. And so what's left of the anarchy? If you side with the left on the vaccine compelment, if you side on the left with all of their current state-led fights, you're not into anarchy. You are creating a structure of control. And so the whole key to Noam Chomsky is this duality between his self-labeling as an anarchist, but the reality of his contribution to the world, which is a deeply far-leftist, statist contribution. His work is best forgotten because although it's been astroturfed by Jewish intellectuals, the reality about these little snippets of language thoughts that he had, we can do without. We can do without at this point. I hope that I will publish the moral signal soon or at some point in my life so that we can have a better model to think of human language than this kind of psychological approach that he had. Kremier has then said he was sorry for tweeting that Noam Chomsky was dead. Presumably he isn't dead, and a bunch of sites just posted their pre-made articles on his death because they bought the rumor. All right. I want to draw attention to a physiological phenomenon here. This is the black woman who killed a 3-year-old white boy, I think, white boy. And you know, she went very mimetic because she's smiling. She's like, oh yeah, that's me. And she acts like this in court while she's getting processed through the prosecution. I didn't talk much about it because I think it's disgusting. And it's another case of we live with people who will commit an anti-white genocide even if they won't say it. But it's like just exposing yourself to the rate of black-on-white violence over decades. It's happening. It's just, no, they're not going to plot the genocide by frotting hands and planning against us. It's just happening out of the asymmetry of the kill rate, basically. Just living with psychopaths like this, we end up paying the price through our lives. But I'm not bringing this story to talk about crime or race or whatever. I just want to talk about boobs. Those are, oh my fucking God, those are not boobs. Those are knees. I mean, can you imagine the stretching? This is her boobs have attained her hips. Holy fucking shit. This is what happens when she is in prison attires and nothing is there to support. you see them in their full stretch. I'm going to play the video so that we have an idea of the anatomical phenomenon here.
All rise.
I mean, this is like decades of boob stretching. Decades of stretching the skin, and eventually they reach, basically they form a new layer of knees. Classic Groip was reporting on this video by Lily. She appeared on a Twitter space, and she got attacked by the guys on the Twitter space. Let's have a look.
All right.
What's
Wait,
up?
You're a single mom. You do drugs in Detroit. You don't take care of your kid. You shouldn't be giving advice to like young men. Like your life sucks.
Okay,
your life sucks. You failed. You're a single mom.
Hey.
Like, why are you giving advice to young people? Like Nick's like seven times like he's like half your age and like 50 times more successful than you. Like I don't think you're
right,
unlikable.
That's cool. Thanks.
Like that video you posted is just imagine everybody watched the video she posted where she's in the car bitching. And imagine it's you, and imagine you're married to her. Like, obviously, you get divorced to her. She's a loser.
Okay.
She's completely unlikable.
What happened to, like, last week's energy where you were, like, being, like,
this is why you're alone, Lily. Because, like, that car video is just picture you're bitching at a man, and he sees you. So if he doesn't hit you.
That is true. There is an aspect to our videos that is very aggressive. It's an aggression. And you're going to attract audiences for a week. You're going to pop in popularity and go viral, but you have to be careful. Never forget, Lily, that in our business, we are making love to the ears of the audience. People won't watch you for years if you are constantly bitching at them.
He's usually a lot nicer than this.
He tagged me. I didn't even watch it.
You're just an obnoxious bitch. You're just an obnoxious bitch. Like, why don't, like, do you not get people don't like you? That's why you're alone?
Chill, man.
see this guy rambling around? If he had ejaculated this morning, he would be a lot more
I actually
calm.
Did. I had.
And that is a leftist thing. So we have a couple of red flags from Lily. One of them is if you approach the world as every time you lose an argument, it's because the guy didn't have sex or because the guy is frustrated sexually, you fail. You are approaching the world from a matriarchal perspective, and that disqualifies you as a right-wing voice because the right wing must undermine the liberal matriarchy, basically. If it's the first thing that comes to your mind, oh, well, this guy is criticizing me, therefore he doesn't have sex. First, it's not the case for him, as it turns out. And secondly, it doesn't change anything. If there's an argument that was made, you need to address the argument, not your conceptions of sexual frustration. That is an androgynic behavior, by the way. It's this conception that because he's saying something you don't like, he must be frustrated sexually. That is objectifying male, and it is exactly what the left keeps doing.
Sex when I got back math fact.
I've been masturbating during this whole space after you made that point. I was like, she's got a good point. And
I literally got back math fact and had sex. You were in a hotel room with strangers doing drugs.
And so I don't know where this comes from, this idea that she was in a hotel room doing drugs with strangers. Was this at the AF pack? Was she caught? She doesn't deny it. She doesn't. So I don't know. I don't really care about this.
Okay. All right. So,
why are you giving advice to young men? Your life sucks. You're not a good parent. You're abandoning your kid to do drugs in Detroit. Like, what are you doing?
No.
Well, then why are you following me? If you don't like what I have to say,
I'm not
fuck
following
off
you. You're obnoxious.
Good. Thank God.
Okay.
Like, do you not get that? Like, listen, there's a lot of single moms who do drugs in Detroit who say the N-word who are white. You're not special.
Not special, but I've got more followers than you do,
motherfucker. No, you don't.
Okay, Cringe Panda says she admitted to doing shrooms. So she's been doing shrooms recently at AF Pack or historically. Cringe Panda is sending the link. I did shrooms. So she states this on June 17th, so yesterday. And to someone who said you did drugs and hooked up with someone, she says, I did shrooms, but did not hook up with anyone. So she would have... So this girl has been on mushrooms at AF Pack. What the fuck? And people are like, you did mushrooms and you had sex with someone. And her defense is, I didn't have sex with someone. I just did shrooms. Now, I've taken drugs when I was young, but at no point in my life where I identified as a conservative did I take drugs. That is, and to go for shrooms in a foreign city while you are at basically a job meeting, well, that is... I don't judge her ultimately, but it's very far from conservative behavior. I don't care about drugs. It only harms yourself, so I don't mind. But holy shit, this girl is like, she's on shrooms. She's churning out videos out there. She's going to conferences. What I'm seeing in her behavior on Twitter recently, and this is why I wanted to talk about this tonight, I believe she's headed for a the right wing abused me kind of story. I believe she's headed there. You know, like this Sargon of Akkad. Oh, I was talking to them, but just for the anthropological observation of their behavior. Because she's starting to retweet other women who are saying, oh, the groypers are abusive toward her, like the losers that they are. And she's retweeting this. Now, this doesn't look to me like someone who wants to integrate griper level far-right discourse. We're talking about Lily trying to stay white-pilled. So I believe that what she's headed for, if she's retweeting this, she wants to create drama. She wants to highlight rejection of her by the far right. And then she wants to be able to quote all of this to say, look, I was pushed. I was pushed in the center right spot because those Israeli haters, those anti-Semites, those misogynist followers of Nick Fuentes, look at what they did to me. Look at how hard they went at me. My prediction is that we'll be there within a month. Will be there within a month, and it will all be over, this conception that Lily may be a far-right voice. I've seen this behavior before. Cringe Panda says, play Lauren Sutton games, win Lauren Sutton prizes. Well, she's headed toward exactly the direction of Lauren Sutton, if my prediction is correct. Let's keep listening.
You don't have the influence.
You have people who like... wish they had sex with you because they haven't interacted with you. You don't have any followers.
You're also shaped like a surfboard.
Okay.
Like, you're like, here's the deal. Here's
Twitter Spaces are such a chaotic place. It's not as good as Bloodsport in my view. That's why I don't listen to them and I don't connect to them. I don't join them generally. Look, it's sad, but it's too poorly organized. And here they're like, they're mixing in political commentary and drug commentary and then commentary on her boobs. It's weird.
Here's the deal. Listen. Either you can be like Carlin and you can be kind of like butch and masculine and have a bitchy personality because it's like kind of charming, or you can be really hot and have a bitchy personality, which is like, okay, it's obnoxious, but she's hot. You're neither, okay? You're just like, you're lame and you're obnoxious. You're unlikable.
This is like the Ryan comedy that did a sketch where he's a super fat 600-pound guy. And he's like, yeah, at best, you're a 2 out of 10. You're a bitch. You're ugly. These masculinist podcasts are going hard on women no matter what.
All right. This is not... What happened to you, Paul Town?
Are you talking to Lily or Brittany? I'm confused.
No, Brittany's awesome.
Okay.
No, okay. I have never said I was hot. I've never said I had
Nobody else
body.
Has had that either.
I never said I had a good personality. So that's all just...
Yeah, you're an obnoxious single mom. Like, why don't you shut up and take care of your kid?
Don't listen to
him. Why are you on the internet? Take care of your child. The reason your kid is on the internet is because you put her there, or him. I don't even know. Like, what are you doing? You're like a mama... Like, picture a mama bear, right? And she's like, here's my child. And what? My child got hunted by a hunter. It's like, how about you like take care of your kid instead of going to Detroit to a political conference to have sex? And then also do drugs with strangers in a hotel room. Why did you not have a hotel room?
So she actually did the drugs at AF back. Wow.
How did you not have a hotel room? Did you plan on sleeping with somebody? Why did you not have a hotel room when you showed up?
Missed her flight too. She has a child and she missed her flight. Wait.
All right. It's going to be one at a time. Like, we don't need to talk about it.
So how did you show up to a conference without a hotel room booked? You were doing drugs. You didn't have a hotel room booked. You must have assumed you were going to sleep with somebody.
Okay, whatever you want to say.
You slept in his bed until yesterday afternoon.
Yes.
Yeah, I did. And nothing fucking happened because we were all crashing out. And I'll repeat it again. I swear to God, nothing happened. And I'm getting
You're an old lady with a kid. Why are you crashing out?
All right. All right.
Why don't you get lost?
Great for one, bitch.
All right.
Okay, so she was crashing out, was not organized. Now she has a video on fat kids. I love the aesthetics of this video because she tries to make it a casual looking video, but you can see her makeup work. Nothing of this is casual. Like, this is 40 minutes of investment in makeup, and there she is just chilling beside the pool. It's fascinating to me, this TikTok desire to seem, look casual, look like, oh, I'm just holding a phone and let's talk about while I relax close to the pool. That is not the kind of video I will ever make.
Okay, I don't care if this sounds mean, but fat kids are annoying. They are. Like, they can be the sweetest kid ever, but if you're a fat kid...
And you know this trend of starting with okay? Okay. You are creating a product, and the function of this okay, as much as I can understand it from the TikTok culture, is to make it look like you just started out of nowhere and that it's casual. Okay, let me tell you something. Okay, none of my show have ever started with an okay.
Kid, you just immediately look like a brat, you know? And it always amazes me that parents just, like, let their kids be fat. Like, at that age, your metabolism is like, running on overtime, you know? Like, it's gotta be, like, hard to be a fat kid. You have so much energy, so you're always wanting to run around. But, like, these kids nowadays, they have to go to, like, public...
She's right, you know, on the fat kids. That is correct. I don't understand how people end up with fat kids. All you have to do, really, is... not feed them too much. Like, it's so easy. You just have to, you know, they come to you and they say, I want candies, I want a second meal, I want the exact same meal you just gave me, and all you have to do is say no and just refuse. There is a problem. Parents, I don't know how they do it, but they give too much food to their children. Also, don't force your kids to finish the meals. It's good news when your kid decides that he doesn't want the rest of the plate. It's good news. Throw it to the trash. It's so easy to keep children at a relatively healthy weight. You just have to say no half of the time. And that's it. I'm hungry, Dad. Well, you're going to have to wait. I don't have time right now. I'm going to make you a meal, but in 2-3 hours from now, boom. You just made your kid healthier and you know, better looking, and they will grow to be a better adult.
Public school, and it's basically prison. You're sitting on your ass all day, you're eating shitty food, you're not running around, you're not, you know, getting into trouble. And then they come home and they have to do homework. Like, school is awful. School is terrible. Don't send your kid to school if you can possibly help it. Men, try to make enough money to where your wife doesn't have to send your kids to school, because they don't have a life. Like, kids need to have a life. They need to have fun. And they're all fat now. Like, they're fat, annoying little kids now because they're not at home having fun. It's a major problem.
Okay. I agree with the point. Tarmo had sent a super chat on entropy before the show. Tarmo, thank you for your donation to the show. He says, Jeff, I'm a single 25-year-old man. What are the most important qualities to look for in a woman so that she is not an insane bitch? Look, whether you have an insane bitch or not will not be determined so much by your seeking behavior. It will be determined by the forces of the market. And so just work to be the highest value man you can, and that will give you leverage to have higher quality female. Now, if you want to look, what are the signs that a woman is an insane bitch? Well, first, it's the fact that she is a woman. That gives you a 99% likelihood that she is insane. What are the signs that you would pick for finding the exception? I would say a woman who is beautiful, not under pressure, who is a Christian, who is based, is the most likely woman who will form a good couple, that where she will be willing to not make your life a living hell. Those are the characteristics I would look for, based on the fact that my current girlfriend is awesome, and it's the first time in my life that I date such a based Christian. And I would say that is autistic females, like, not necessarily diagnosed with autism, but females who have a kind of appreciation for the world of ideas are much more likely to not be hooked to their social world. The more she is connected to her social world, the more she is dependent on her mom, her friend females, the more she is needing a social network, the more likely she has one of these brains that can just snap. And eventually she will snap against you. She will be guided away from you through our social network. So those signs, the absence or relatively low amount of social network dependence, this doesn't mean that she doesn't have friends, but you can see that she has a form of independence, a healthy independence from any friend that she has. And this kind of dedication, if she's capable of saying, to me, the goal of my life is to be a good wife, that is a very good sign. If you ask, is the goal of your life to be a good wife? And she starts laughing, or she starts saying, well, first and foremost, no. And first and foremost, I want to do this other thing. That's already a very bad sign. Now, don't get hooked too much on the signs, because ultimately, your value on the market is what will... You probably won't have a choice of which woman you get in the end. Whatever woman shows up for your market value is what you're going to have to reproduce with. Which makes me think that Shringma Mail, by the way, is not giving us news through super chats, because he traveled to Asia, and he is currently with his new wife in Asia. Oh my God, he did it. And You know, she had shown some signs that she was suicidal and everything, and like super hardcore crazy. But he says that in his physical presence, she seems much more calm and much less dramatic. So we have a passport bro right here, as Cringe Panda calls him. We have a passport bro who has applied the maximal philosophy that I've, you know, the philosophy that I've defended and that I came with partly by theorizing, you know, theorizing based on my experiences, what should be the best path for him. And he followed it after absolute denial from the market and the American dating market. Hundreds of women that he's approached at bars, and he's gotten maybe a dozen girlfriends along the way. All of them just not serious, not wanting to build a family. And there he is. He is in Asia right now, having sex with an Asian, that is, and she's less crazy than she seemed on the phone. Isn't that a good ending when she's less crazy than on the phone? Doubting Thomas says, JF, have you heard Go Away? Hopefully you didn't ban him. Your interactions with him is a staple of the show. I might have banned him. He might have been giving me some trouble with edgy chats, and I might have banned him. I don't exactly remember. Gripers are attacking her kid like the absolute lowlife scum that they are. Look, this is the beginning. This is the beginning of the subversion and the campaign of Lily, which I predict will lead to a post-Griper Lily. You know, I think that ultimately when the history books are written down, we will retain that Lily has been a Griper for maybe 36 hours. And 24 hours of these 36 hours were on mushrooms. I mean, you can't make this shit up. So now you have this woman Twitter account, who's tweeting, Gripers are attacking her kid. And so now there's the whole narrative that they're trying to build that, oh, well, the Gripers were so evil, they attacked her kid. Well, as far as I'm concerned, I've never attacked the kid. I've looked at pictures that were put on the internet by Lily. Those were not pictures that were taken by paparazzis. We've looked at those pictures merely to assess, did Lily, and to me, it's never been about the child. To me, it's been about, did Lily race mix? That is an important question that's totally independent from the child. I've used the picture of the child to do a racial assessment. I concluded that, yeah, he has Mediterranean, Middle Eastern, probably some kind of genetics like this, Iranian, call it what you want. But this narrative is false, really. What I've seen from the Gripers, even the anonymous account and the low lives out there, they're not really pissed at her son, and they don't appeal to any provocation or violence toward her son. They are questioning her behavior and her fitness for a conservative media position. That is what I've seen. But I'm afraid that since she has retweeted this, look at this, Lily reposted. Lily reposted. So she is framing herself through this retweet as a victim of the evil Gripers. So what's coming? Well, I'll tell you what's coming. Subversion by Jewish agents like Alex Stein, who are now making her approach Blaze TV. Oh my God, a big poster. Tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Joined by Lily, prime time with Alex Stein. She's going to develop a probably a Zionist career, saying, "Oh my God, I've been dipping with these anti-Semites for 36 hours and it was too much." And she's going to surf alongside subversive Zionists like Alex Stein, and probably be bought out by either Blaze TV or TPUSA, and is going to take a center-right approach, subversion after subversion after subversion. I hope that I'm wrong. I hope that she can finally come out as based for real, but it looks like it's what it is. Nicholas Petris says, typical tricks, business as usual. Yes, absolutely. It's not the first time we see this. There were videos showing contradictions, claiming that she was contradicting herself. Let's have a look at what she says there.
When I went to Turning Point, I got the vibe that was the old guard and it's on its way out. There wasn't a lot of energy there, and it was a lot of older people versus as opposed to like AFPAC, there was a lot of young people, you know, a lot of energy there.
It's so fringe, it's so clicky, it's so niche that you're excluding a lot of normal people.
So, I don't think it's a contradiction necessarily. In her car, she was talking about this groper anti-Semite behavior. In the interview, she's talking about the AFPAC as a whole. So, I mean, you can... I think it's a little bit pushed to argue that this is a contradiction.
I think it's the shift, a cultural shift. I really do think people are getting away from the typical conservative, you know, square image of just being like, you know, we make nice, pretty speeches and we're...
Oh, so that's why she took mushrooms. It was to change the mood of conservatism, to show a younger view of conservatism. We don't have to be square. We don't have to have morals. Master Slave says, day 4 of JF promoting Lily. What is this infatuation with this nobody personality? Master Slave, you will watch one more Lily video and you will be happy.
Polite, and we're the nice guys, we're the good guys.
I mean, if you want to be a clique and you want to have your little frat, like, that's cool, but you're not really going to make any difference in the country in the long run.
And we're wanting to fight fire with fire. You know, we are sick of being bullied by the loud people who scream at us and riot and whatever. So I think we're getting in on that. Like, okay, you want war? Let's have a war then.
And if you want your damn movement to grow, how about you start letting in other normal people? But no, you want to be some little faggot?
Normal people, we tried. They don't last very long. They all end up in some mainstream media saying, I was abused by the alt-right. They all end up in the pipeline of the ex-alt-righters, and they betray us.
Get with your dumb clique, it's so gay!
Okay, that was not a solid video in terms of contradiction.
The birth rate is declining, and what are you doing? You're getting married? Like, why even bother fucking getting married, you loser?
Okay, we got a problem in this country, and it's people not getting married.
Okay, that is also not a contradiction, so I disagree with the poster of this video. Now, one of the most rising subversives is Tim Pool. Tim Pool is absolutely absolutely disgusting. He doesn't engage with Nick Fuentes. He hesitates on invitations, and I invite you, and I cancel last minute, and then I re-invite you on another show. A low-level, B-level show. And there he is, claiming that Nick Fuentes is sabotaging the idea of America First by demanding independence from Israel. This is absolutely clownish. sabotaging America First. Nick Fuentes there's no America First without Nick Fuentes. Nick Fuentes is the creator of America First as a movement. And what's your argument? That we should be dependent on Israel? That we should kneel to the ideological subversion of Jews in politics in America?
And I think we're wasting money on foreign excursions. Here's the problem. When Nick Fuentes says independence from Israel, I assure you the average person believes that's ridiculous.
Not at all. I believe that people want to be independent from any force of subversion, which is why, in terms of a political movement, the only political movement that has wind in its sail with the young generation is America First, is some conception, even that regroups actually people from the far right to the far left, a conception that there is a problem with the boomer generation and how they handled the resistance of the American system to Jewish subversion. This is the main theme, and it's the only one that is attracting popular uprising on social media. So, of course, it will be when this generation becomes the norm, becomes most of the voters, when the older generations die, it will inevitably be an election issue. And I don't see America, after freeing themselves from the English monarchy, I don't see America demanding 200 years later to be slave to some other foreign interest. There is a genetic bottom of freedom-loving people in this country. And once they realize, if there's no censorship, they will realize that American politics is way too controlled by Israeli interest.
They have their audience. The average person likes Israel.
I'm not sure about this. What are you relying on? Have you been asking recently what people think of the Gaza genocide? What are the surveys?
They do not agree with Nick Fuentes on this one.
Unsupported.
The other big issue is that a lot of Christians, a lot of evangelicals want us to help Israel because of the Holy Land.
Yeah, well, that's a fringe opinion, really. I know that there may be 20 to 40% of Americans who are deeply enough entrenched in a form of, you know, fundamental Christianity that they would want this, but it's a very small proportion. Ultimately, it doesn't matter the religious view on this. What matters is, are people accepting that our political debate cannot even happen in America because the Jews are controlling the two sides, and we can't even follow our logic to its conclusion in the face of the actions of Israel. See what happened to the De Hill journalist. She followed our leftist logic to its conclusion, and she said, hey, ethnostates are bad, so Israel is bad, and she got fired. So people don't like being under this iron fist of censorship, of corporate control of speech that basically stops politics in America from playing forward.
Regardless, my attitude is this. My guy, I'm trying to go to people and say, America First, and the...
Well, that is absolutely subversive of you. America First is a brand that now I hear from your mouth. When I heard it from Nick Fuentes, like maybe 10 years ago, maybe as far as 10 years ago. I mean, we're in 2024. Nick Fuentes may have been using the phrasing America first on social media since for 10 years. So it's quite subversive of you to try to take his label.
The first thing that pops in their minds is Nick Fuentes hates Israel.
Well, okay, but that is that is a emotional phrasing that needs to be rejected. What matters is, are Nick Fuentes' criticism of Israel valid? It doesn't matter the feeling of hate.
What does that have to do with us securing our borders?
Well, it has to do because as long as the Jewish interests are controlling of American politics, both on the Republican and Democrat side, you won't get your issues resolved because you're not a priority for politicians. And that's a problem. Politicians are voted in place and given power based on their allegiance to the Jewish regime. Both the Israeli regime and the Jewish technocratic regime in America. So it has everything to do with securing our border. Because if there could be an actual American politics with American candidates that get voted by American people for election promises that are concerning America, then we wouldn't be in the trouble that we are.
Bringing jobs back, getting rid of people like Joe Biden.
Well, all of this must be the product of a free American politics. And we don't have this.
Getting accountability for the corruption, cleaning up our streets. No idea. No.
Well, I just said, what is the problem? You cannot have anything at the service of the American people as long as the kissing of the wall of Israel is the main factor that determines if a politician gets elected on the primary level or kicked out.
No idea. I believe, whether intentionally or not, it is sabotaging the idea of America first.
This is annoying, okay? This is childish. America first is a term that Nick Fuentes has been using first here. And you have here an absolute subversive who doesn't engage with the facts, who doesn't invite on his show anyone who could make a good argument to him about Israel and the importance of it. And yet there he is accusing Nick Fuentes of subversion. James says Nick was the only one that revived that concept. Absolutely. America first is largely due to Nick. And here you have someone maybe 10 years later, saying he's sabotaging the ID. Bro, Timpu, what political movement have you ever started that resulted in anything? What political ID have you contributed to the current world? With Nick Fuentes, I can answer some stuff on these points, which is quite miraculous given his age. What have you contributed to, Tim? You have a feel-good show where you invite centrists for feel-good interviews, talking about nothing, contributing nothing to the world. Dino Rogovich says, get hit by a skateboard, become famous.
They take the name, they take the brand, and they taint it. They poison the way.
Well, that's what you seem to be doing right now. To me, America First loses much value if it is given the Tim Pool stamp of approval.
Well, that's why a lot of people accuse him of being a Fed. I don't know.
Completely. He's raising these accusations knowing very well that there's no basis for it. Oh, you know, people are saying that. Maybe that's why people are saying that. I mean, I don't know. But maybe people are saying this maybe because maybe there's a reason. Maybe it's true. Holy shit. How weak is this? this is the result of someone dismissing blood sports again. We keep having these people who show their weakness with arguments, and they hate blood sports. Who was it recently that said he hated blood sports? The guy that came onto the Andrew Wilson show, this leftist Jew. Anyways, it's been twice in a row that we have people who didn't really listen to the era of blood sports are missing something in their arguments. They are missing, yeah, Dave Smith, that was his name. So Dave Smith and Tim Pool are two people who have stated publicly that they hated blood sports, that they weren't interested in it and all the, yeah, you didn't care, and the world has evolved beyond you. And there are people who are better at arguments because they went through blood sports. If you stay in your ivory tower, you make just these feel-good interviews, you're always going to end like Tim Pool and like Dave Smith. Ariel Suarez says, the libertarian guy? Yeah, Dave Smith, the libertarian. And meanwhile, holy shit, Candace Owens is just dropping bomb after bomb on her new show, going on her own. 1.8 million subscriber, Candace Owens. Everything we learned about World War II is a lie.
I tweeted this. Americans know nothing about, which is why after watching this documentary, I tweeted this. Americans know nothing about real history. Did you know that 12 million Germans were ethnically cleansed after World War II? Did you know 500,000 of them were murdered for the crime of speaking German, that children were lined up and shot? Well over 2 million women and children were raped at the end of the war. Many of them died or killed themselves as a result. In Czechoslovakia, they lined German civilians up, many of whom had lived there for centuries, and ran over their legs with trucks. They forced them to dig their own graves. Not all of them were German. Some of them just spoke German. 12 million German civilians were expelled across Eastern Europe, forced stripped of their homes and property and citizenry for the crime of speaking German. Hundreds of thousands of them starved to death. This ethnic expulsion was the largest in human history, and yet you've never heard about it. Why? That's a question I have for you. Why had we never heard about it? Well, because then it becomes harder for us to consider what actually went on. What was the true purpose for us getting involved in World War II if we were going to commit the very same crimes, ethnically cleanse people, put them into concentration camps, kill them, kill their children, line them up and shoot them? It's not good.
That is... Wow, bravo. And I feel so good these days. I feel like I don't even have to fight for ideas to make it onto the public space. I feel that people like Candace Owens are doing a better job and deeper job than I can even do. You know, I've done something critical at a critical time with the public space, bringing attention to ideas that were based at a time where they were shut down, or where we didn't even know, some people didn't even know that these ideas existed. But yeah, Candace is pushing super deep into a full review of the post-World War II narrative. And my God, credit to her, very courageous. Is she going to get banned? Maybe. But she is very big. She is attracting hundreds of thousands of views and is awakening the masses in ways that I couldn't do. I was merely a kind of broker at some point between the world and a certain world of right-wing ideas, and a world that was early YouTube streaming. But Candace is just, boom! Throwing documentaries at people, based documentaries. Charles Garrity says, Cringe Panda, YouTube is like the mafia, and JF left before they whacked him. For sure, the right call. Yeah, that's how I would see it. I do consider that I didn't leave voluntarily in the sense that I knew exactly they were coming for me. And so I left in a context where, yes, I deleted my own channel and demonetized it, but it's because I knew when they were making these new rules, they were designed to go after my channel. So it was clear that they were coming for it. And I preferred leaving voluntarily than having a little label that says JF has been banned. Because then when you get banned from one platform, the other platforms are like, oh, well, he got banned on YouTube, so let's ban him here too. Things have changed in the sense that the YouTube censorship is still very strong and still very annoying. But the people who have converged toward maintaining a YouTube presence, they are basically self-censoring heavily. So they know what not to say. And, you know, you look at a whatever podcast and it's like, hey, I want to talk about Israel, and boom, they shut it down. They know exactly what not to talk about. Back in my days, it wasn't clear what censorship it was going to be. You know, we were the first cases of censorship. Swing It says, JF self-censored for a long time. Yeah, I did what I could because I thought it was a critical time at which right-wing IDs needed a YouTube window. Back in the days when it was the only place available to stream. And so I did it while it was, in my view, useful. But then eventually, when the censorship was hitting my brain too hard, and then it became less necessary to have the public space, so I moved here, and it's a more pleasant experience to be creating freely. Not that I have much edgy thing to say, but the action of speaking while filtering for YouTube censorship is so heavy on the mind, I can't endure it for long. Dino Lugovich says, nice channel you got there. Shame if something happened to it. Yeah, that's exactly how censorship works. And we're still stuck with it. But with Elon rising, things have changed. Because now we have a serious fallback where I think the future of video may be on X. I think people are progressively moving onto X. I may move onto X at some point. I'm just sending clips right now. It may be my home for streaming eventually. For now, it's just not... It doesn't feel like a place where people want to hang out. The chat is bizarre. Very often, there's not many people in the chat. The counter of views seem to be totally biased. It records every... It doesn't tell you the currently watching. It tells you the stack of everyone who's watched it. So, like, if someone connects for a second and then leave, that's one view. And so it keeps growing up and up. I think it's a little inflated. But I like the idea of having a free platform, and one day I might be moving to X. For now, I'm very happy with Odyssey. Pat Reinhardt says, JF, do you miss the public space days and Bloodsports era on YouTube before censorship became heavily implemented? Well, I miss the paycheck for sure. Yeah, I miss a lot of things, but it's not missing in the sense that I would want to go back. I miss because it was a moment where we hoped that the future would be awesome, that something was happening to civilization that had never happened before, and it was opening doors to the future, a future that was with grand possibilities. That's a feeling I miss. I miss basically making enormous amounts of money just out of content creation, the early days of YouTube were just ridiculous. And I was not the biggest YouTuber, but it was ridiculous the amount of money you would generate. If you just had a good video of 10,000, 20,000 views, and you were pulling out checks of $6,000, $7,000 a month, it was insane. I miss the feeling that the media will be completely destroyed and that subversion is over. I miss the idea that, hey, now there's just independent creators, because since this time, 2017, 2018, we've realized something that we didn't know back then, but the subversion will continue. Basically, the enemy has infinite amounts of money, and they will astroturf their personalities through whoever is willing to be purchased. They will, I mean, look at Lily. Who knows where she will waver, where she will end up, you know? But basically, the enemy has infinite money, and they will reconstitute something like cable TV on the internet if needed. They will censor the competition if they can, when they can, and they will astroturf their subversive personalities. I miss not knowing this. I miss being in the naive state of, all right, we're the first streamers and we're the only streamers. I miss this. I don't think this will ever come back, this feeling of naiveness, of there's nothing else, there's no other game in town. Either you debate on the JQ on Andy Warski with JF, or you're part of, or you're still on cable TV, and eventually you're gonna die. Now we know that the forces of evil will try to invade the internet forever, and there's no stopping it. It's always going to be gay ups and hit pieces and holy shit. It's always going to be a war. Nothing will rise naturally that is good. It's like it's always shit. You're always back to the pile of shit that the world is. Pat Reynard says, I have a partial paycheck from me, JF. Thank you. Well, thanks for your super chat. I think that will be it for tonight. Justin Timberlake released after the singer was charged with driving while intoxicated in New York. He has since been released. It's tough to be a leftist. It's tough to be a degenerate, and you have to... you have to engage in all this degeneracy, and it's against the law, and you get caught and you get in trouble. It's much more better to live much easier. It's an easier life to live morally and within the law. Stephen Robinson has been harassing me with these videos of a human brain grown in a jar. Does it have consciousness? Oh my God, let's add layers of weird music onto our videos and look like a fucking skeleton.
May have proven sentience within the disembodied brains grown in a petri dish by making them play 1970s video games. Hi, welcome back to Man-Made Horrors Beyond Comprehension. The brain organoids, which are made from...
This girl, this is amazing. She's so pale. She's like transparent like a ghost. Is that the makeup you have to wear to do ghost stories? This is just a neuron culture. This has been happening in labs, and normally you use a slice of mice brain, but yeah, some people are working with cells that come from human and growing them and making electrophysiology, and in this case they were She says they were training the neurons to spike one way or another way by, you know, stimulating with whatever, you know, you stimulate the neuron with a chemical or with an electric shock, and you eventually teach the neuron to do something or do something else and to retain these acts of training. No, it's not consciousness. It's just a bunch of human cells that are firing in a dish. It's not consciousness. People are alarmed at nothing, really. Rodilacid says, thing is, there are so-called humans with brains who do not have consciousness. Neurons don't mean consciousness. That is a good one. I love this one. I love this statement. Yeah, it is true, you know. You just look at the IQ of certain countries. And it's like, can you imagine that every single person in this country, let's say, take a country with an IQ of 70. With an IQ of 70, you would be retarded, basically. Can you imagine that every single person in this country comes from a sex act that, by Western white standards, would be a statutory rape of a mentally handicapped person? I mean, it's mind-boggling. It's like, are all the acts of sex happening in this country rape? Or what? How do you reconcile the low IQ with the rape, with the capacity to consent? That is what I'm leaving to you as a thought for your mind as you go to sleep. Much love, everyone. I will be here tomorrow. Bye-bye. Thank you.